Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980 AM, 910 The Fan in Richmond, and Monumental Sports Network 2. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team. So we wanted to get back into discussing the list that came out yesterday of the top 10 quarterback rankings from ESPN.
Ruffled a lot of feathers, Cakes.
Certainly did. Jaden Daniels, after his stellar rookie campaign, came in at number 5. Jalen Hurts came in the top 10, but he was lower than Jaden Daniels. And, you know, there's fallout about these rankings and lists because, look, we're not in training camp yet. Still have a ways to go till that. So you have list season continuing
this
week into early next week.
I know you have the part about Hurts, like you were going to talk about. Mm-hmm. Are you going to play the clip where the one guy defends him? Woody defends Jaden?
Maybe Valdez can find that. I think he might have that.
Yeah. I saw our guy, John Kincaid, from Philadelphia radio host, who's been on our show a few times, getting into it with somebody on Twitter, finding it ridiculous that Justin Herbert was ranked above him.
Well, here's Woody. Which one's Woody? That's not the Woody that we know, is it?
No, Damian Woody.
Damian Woody. Okay.
You're thinking of Woody Page?
Yeah, not Woody Page, yeah.
Jaden Daniels, a second-year quarterback, already as the fifth best and the top quarterback in the NFC.
Damn right I do.
Let's go.
Damn right I do. Listen, I grew up a Washington fan. I've seen this organization inept for over 2 decades. That young man steps foot in the building, and that group was one game away from the Super Bowl. That is not a fluke, my friend. It is not a fluke. This man is uber talented. Not only is he a great athlete, he's calm, he's collected, he processes well. He's accurate. He plays with timing and rhythm. Like, he has all those things. And as this franchise continues to build this thing out, man, listen, next year we could be talking about a guy in the top 3.
He grew up in Ashland, Virginia.
Yeah, I was unaware that he's a Virginia guy.
Hmm.
Where is Ashland? So,
Central Virginia. That's from Beaver Dam, there. Virginia.
Close to Richmond.
Down to Richmond.
Yeah. Okay.
Close to Richmond.
Okay, so that's Damian Woody defending Jaden
being 5.
Now, do you have, what, would you have Nick Sirianni and some others that were pissed that Jalen
was, well, I don't know if Nick Sirianni
low?
Was talking about the actual ESPN rankings, but he might be talking about the disrespect, you know, in general with Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't have the audio of that, but Sirianni lashed out at, I think, the Hurts being ranked so low in comments recently made to local media that came up Monday. His quote was pretty quick. Quote, "Yeah, that's BS," Sirianni said, per Ruben Franks of NBC Sports Philadelphia.
All right, so with Hurts, it is disrespectful. He's been to 2 Super Bowls, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lost one.
He's been to 2 Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. He wins one, mm-hmm. wins the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to put up the gaudy passing stats, and people are going to go, well, it's just a tush push. But he scores a ton of touchdowns running the football.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can take that away just because it's tush-push.
My counter to that would be most quarterbacks that fit his mold and his style would score the same amount of touchdowns if they had the same personnel and the same offensive philosophy that Philly has. And
that's fine, but he also takes care of the football.
And Sirianni basically will say, look, give me a really good quarterback that doesn't have really good players mm-hmm. around him.
Right.
I mean, there's some. You can't take away the fact that he wins. Guy's a winner.
He helps them win games.
Would you say, hold on.
He's been a freaking winner.
Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not even looking at the list. But, you know, people have been making fun of our weapons for years. I mean, you know, going into the season, people were still arguing. We would debate whether or not Terry's even a legit number one.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that Jaden did more with less than anybody at the top of that list or no? I don't know.
Justin Herbert didn't have a ton.
He did a lot with not much outside of Terry McLaurin. And look, Zach Ertz had a really good year.
Right.
As a reclamation project, nobody expected him to do what he did.
Nobody expected it. Nobody even really quite expected it.
I mean, he was throwing the ball to Noah Brown and Oz and guys like that. And McCaffrey is a rookie.
But at the top, so the guys ahead of him, Lamar's got more, right?
Burrow, he certainly has Derrick Henry.
Burrow, not even a question. He's got probably the top wideout tandem in the league.
Mahomes didn't have much.
Who's Mahomes' top?
They had injuries last year.
They had a bunch of injuries.
I mean, Xavier Worthy, they drafted. Hollywood Brown was injured most of the year.
Travis Kelce was still the top guy.
But Kelce's
numbers were down.
Slipped a lot.
With Jalen Hurts, look, he had a down year in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
He had 15 interceptions. And I think the perception on him maybe shifted a little bit after that season. His quarterback grading dropped from 101 to 89.
But he corrected
it. But this year he got right back up to almost 104. Now, he didn't finish with 3,000 yards passing.
No.
So that's where he gets knocked. But if you look at his interceptions, his touchdown interception ratio in his career, it's 85 to 39. And there really was just one season out of five where he's been double-digit interceptions. So I do think it's a bit of a joke that he's... I would have him definitely above Herbert.
Well, also, you
Stafford, you can make a case.
If you're barely throwing the ball, you shouldn't throw a lot of interceptions. That's going to be my
pushback.
Okay,
but his ratio is basically 4-1.
But again, he's not throwing the ball nearly as much as some of the other quarterbacks.
He's not.
I mean, look at his attempts compared to guys like Burrow and Josh Allen and Jaden.
You can't take away the fact that he's been a winner, especially in the postseason.
True.
Now, he had Saquon last year,
right?
Which is huge, and he's got really good receivers. Got a great offensive line. So maybe that's what these rankings are looking at, and they're kind of taking it away from him. And they're elevating guys who are the prototypical, you know, 6'5", can better arm, maybe more accurate. But, man, Hurts is a winner, man.
I mean, if you look at the touchdown interception ratio, Cakes, Jaden Daniels, 25-9, so not quite to 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts is almost 4-1 on touchdown to interception ratio. And you can go back and look at his season in 2022, he was 22-6. So again, almost 4-1. Like, he takes care of the football. And then you punch in, I don't know. You know, I can see why you would put Jaden ahead of him. Flashier.
Yeah.
But Jalen gets the job done. And I do think it's disrespectful that a couple of those guys are above him. For sure.
I know he feels like it too.
I know he doesn't throw the ball a ton, but you have to factor in double digit rushing touchdowns every single year.
I would argue those are fluky.
Are they fluky when it's every year? 13. These are the last 3 years.
I mean,
13, 15, 14.
He benefits from
great offensive line,
a gimmicky play that the NFL is still allowing to happen, which is weird.
I'd argue.
You can't argue that he's not benefiting from that.
He is, but why aren't more quarterbacks doing it?
I don't know.
Because they don't have the offensive line.
It's a great question.
Okay, but he's also...
Maybe more should.
But he's also leading an offense that's putting him on the one-yard line.
True.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, he's
but
a lot of
teams get down to the one-yard line and don't run that play. Yeah, why?
I don't know. And if it's so gimmicky and easy, everyone should do it.
He's an elite leader. That, I know. He's been that since his freshman year in college. You know?
Tell you what.
I don't think anybody expected him to have the pro career that he had.
He's a great fantasy quarterback.
Good fantasy quarterback.
No disputing that.
Yeah. I could understand the disrespect. If I was an Eagles fan, I'd probably be upset.
I'm sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it doesn't mean anything, but it's just silly. It's, you know, it's too bad that he's ranked so low. If you put him ahead of Jaden, it would be hard for me to argue.
It's just nice that experts feel like Jaden Daniels the top quarterback of the NFC after exactly one season in the league.
Yeah. Right. And because this is when they polled coaches, scouts, and who else? Front office
execs.
Like front office execs.
The incredible thing is this season, the 2025 season, is going to be the first season since Kirk Cousins where they will have the same starting quarterback in week one.
It's great.
Wow.
Need some continuity.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
They've been searching for it forever.
After Kirk, every year it's been a new starter. I mean, they've started Alex Smith. They started Dwayne Haskins.
Yes.
Fitzmagic. Sam Howell. Carson Wentz.
Oh. Remember how nervous we were about him staying healthy? Like, that was the big... Uh-huh. No one's really talking about that. I'm starting to get nervous about it.
Why are you getting nervous?
Well, remember
why would you get nervous about it?
Because he still is a spindly guy who does take a lot of hits.
Yeah, but every quarterback takes a lot of hits.
I know, but
he got hurt and he threw his helmet down. I thought he was going to be out for weeks.
When he got like folded over?
Remember he walked on the sideline and
he wasn't the same guy for a few weeks, right? They were wrapping his... That's when they were wrapping his ribs and everything.
Yeah. Wasn't practicing as much. Nobody said that during the Bears game, which was immediately after. But then the next 3 weeks, which they lost, they pointed to the injury. I mean, we'll never know.
I think he was banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a rib injury.
Yeah.
1,000%.
I'm definitely sleeping on the fact that, you know, he is a little, I'm sorry, I don't care what anybody says, he's a little bit more at risk for injury than other guys based on his build and his style of play. He just is. All quarterbacks are vulnerable. All quarterbacks get hurt. He's a little bit more at risk.
But he should be getting more savvy about running out of bounds. And it looked like he did.
I think he's less at risk just because he's so shifty and can get out of bad spots like most other quarterbacks
can. He just takes more hits.
Well, should be less at risk with Laremy Tunsil on the offensive line.
Let's hope.
The improved line.
Let's hope that's the case.
Should make a difference.
Yeah.
And hopefully they're running Debo a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I think if we're in Philadelphia, we probably would be up in arms about Jalen Hurts not being ranked above Jaden Daniels.
I mean, well, it's just what we're killing offseason time. I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
But Eagles fans should just chill.
Yeah,
you won a Super Bowl.
Just revel in the fact that you won a Lombardi trophy.
Right, you're defending champs.
Dude, so I was
all good.
I was just perusing like sort of what the opinion was from all these various podcast hosts last night and this morning based on the Garrett Wilson deal. I was just kind of seeing what the surveying the situation. And I stumbled on this dude that does a podcast out of Detroit. Okay? And for whatever reason, he was like paying a lot of respect to the Commanders, and he was kind of apologizing.
I mean, whatever reason, they crushed Detroit.
Because they beat their ass in their building.
There's no reason for him to do a whole kind of like 15-minute show or 20-minute show on the Commanders. And that's what he was doing. And he was kind of apologizing. He goes, look, I like to talk about, obviously this is a Detroit podcast, but I talk about other teams that are, you know, like kind of in our realm. And he was hyping up this free agent that we signed that we haven't talked about, and I think is probably overstated. But he did this yesterday, and he said, watch out for this kid. Keegan Jones is, I believe, his name.
Okay.
He's a sixth-year player out of UCLA that ran a 4.4. So he's got the measurements.
Okay.
I don't think he did a ton.
So what position does he play?
He would be like a lane guy. He would be like a wide receiver, running back, return guy.
All right.
And he was hyping him up. And I'm driving in this morning, listening to this guy, and I got to look at highlights of Keegan Jones, a six-year player out of UCLA. And Peters is a UCLA guy, right? Because he drafted the linebacker from UCLA.
Yeah.
And all we've been talking about is
Madrano
Lane.
Kid.
Should I be paying attention to Keegan Jones?
He's a running back.
If he flashes in training camp, maybe. But as of right now, you don't need to pay attention.
Well,
they're just desperate.
Detroit podcast host that did 5 or 10 minutes on Keegan Jones, the sixth round free agent that the Commanders signed.
You can always find the audio we need. Can you effort and try to find? I remember a Detroit host before the Commanders went in and played them. Yeah. I think he might have called.
We had him on the show.
When he was like, if you think the Commanders are going to come into Ford Field with that place at a fever pitch and walk out with a win, I'm paraphrasing. He's like, you're freaking crazy. He's like, the Commanders don't know what they're in for. And then the Commanders went in and pulled them real good.
Of course.
In front of 80,000 people wearing blue. And they went home all depressed and crying on their way home. Would love for you to.
You got Detroit.
Yep.
And Commanders fans. Detroit's got you and your third worst rushing defense in the NFL and your rookie quarterback and just an insane environment Saturday night where we got all day to get right, if you know what I mean. You have no concept of what you're walking into. None whatsoever. We are 60 minutes away from hosting an NFC championship game. And if you thought that I was going to roll in here today and just be calm about that and say, let it play out and stuff like that, I will not. And this, we can just record and run back tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday. And then Friday, I'll be even more extra about it. We are 60 minutes away from hosting the NFC championship game here in Detroit to go to the Super Bowl.
He was hyped up.
I love that.
What was his when we had him on? He seemed like a decent guy. Yeah. What was his sort of response? Well, I can't remember. Did he acknowledge?
His tail was tucked between his legs.
He was very cool.
Yeah, he was fine with it.
He said, like, "You know what? You guys beat our ass."
Right.
Yeah. He was honest.
Just owned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm watching Keegan Jones highlights now. I don't see anything special.
He's got fun with
but
that.
I was driving
you were
in.
Mesmerized.
He was hyping him up. He said he runs a 4.4. Running back, 6-year player.
Pay attention to the 7th-round pick more than the undrafted guy that they added to the roster.
Yeah, I'm also keeping an eye on him. But I'm just saying, what if he flashes? Keegan Jones, just remember
that. I'll remember the name. I'll do
it. The odds are, though, Keegan Jones, the 7th-round pick, they're going to be sitting behind the same two, B-Rob and Austin Ekeler.
Most likely. Usually that's the way it works out.
Probably.
All right, when we come back, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Where the Party At tour featuring Nelly and the St. Lunatics, Ja Rule, and more. We'll give those away when we come back here on The Fan. Coming up at the end of this segment, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Where the Party At tour featuring Nelly, Ja Rule, Eve, and Chingy. It's coming up at Jiffy Lube Live later this summer, so you can win those at the end of this segment.
So we have the TVs on here, and it's on ESPN, and they're starting to do college football previews.
Yeah.
Love it.
Jordan Palmer's on TV, and he was on The Bachelorette. I don't see him a lot on TV, but I know he's a college football analyst. And he looks like so personable.
You mean Jordan? No, not Jordan Palmer. Jordan
Rodgers. Sorry. Jordan Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers' brother.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Jordan Rodgers are two famous Jordans that are quarterbacks.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And the lesser quarterbacks in their families.
Right.
Sorry. Jordan Rodgers. He looks like so personable. He's like laughing. And then Aaron is so smarmy.
Yeah, his brother's just sullen and just, I don't know. He just seems unapproachable. Not
like, look at him. Like, even his smile looks like he looks like a guy you'd like to hang out with.
Sure.
I don't necessarily love his mustache there, but he's smiling, joking around. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers is like turning down autographs and just, he's playing in a celebrity tournament making news of how much of a jerk he is.
Those guys, they don't talk, do they? Do they?
I don't know. I don't know if they're estranged. They could be estranged.
Well, they were for a while. Yeah. Maybe they've slowly gotten back.
Maybe they've mended the
fences. I think there was a story that the parents came to a game. I'm not sure about Jordan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. He's just total opposite. Completely different.
What was the other story with Aaron? I know that it was both of them happened. There were two different incidents at the tournament in Tahoe, right? One was, and I didn't think it was that big of a deal. He was signing autographs. And then he wouldn't sign for one guy who claims to be an autograph seeker.
That guy's like an eBay guy, just going to flip on eBay immediately. Yeah. Like, and look, I can kind of understand Aaron Rodgers and other athletes in that respect. Like, if a kid comes up to you and wants them to sign a jersey or a ball, please sign for them. Take the 5 seconds. But if it's a guy that you know is just going to take it and try to sell it for $400 on eBay and profit off of you, like, I can understand the reluctance there. I'm not going to call him a jerk for turning down that autograph.
I don't think he's a jerk, but I mean, those guys, they are grinding. They're standing outside stalking these people.
They're losers. Let's be honest. I think they're losers. They're grown men losers trying to flip stuff on eBay off of somebody else's name and likeness.
Man, I want to go to that course, that Lake Tahoe course. Man, that place is
unbelievable. Why don't you go at some point?
It looks unbelievable.
It looks great.
The other incident.
I really want to go to Tahoe. Doesn't it look sweet? I want to go to Tahoe.
It involved a young boy who claimed that an errant shot from Rodgers nearly struck him, leading to an emotional reaction from the child. In response to the boy's claim, Rodgers expressed skepticism. He stated that the child was standing behind the ropes, which are typically used to keep spectators at a safe distance. According to Rodgers, his shot didn't come close to the young boy.
I didn't see that.
So it's a he said, he said bit.
It was such a casual thing. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I'm not his biggest fan by any means, but he gets attacked no matter what he does.
Right.
So if he doesn't sign for an autograph hound, he's a jerk because he won't sign for fans.
I agree.
This is like him. These people are just chirping at these guys all day long. Right. Everyone's making a one-liner.
Yeah.
So what, is he going to stop and talk to everyone during this round? So he's walking and somebody says, hey, you almost hit me. And he says, almost doesn't count. Yeah. Keeps on walking. I mean, it was fine.
There's nothing wrong with that.
People love to hate him.
Yes, I agree with you.
But he's still not as personable as his brother.
No, I think that's true.
Well, I mean, his brother's call. Doesn't brother call games for like ESPN?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, I mean, he can't be just a withdrawn jerk if he's calling football games. He's got to have a personality.
And I think Jordan Rodgers is one of the few Bachelor or Bachelorette. I don't know which one he was on. I think he was the Bachelor.
I think that's correct.
I think he's one of the few who got married and is still married.
I think his wife's name is JoJo.
You know
that's when I was back in on The Bachelor. I've been out for a few years.
You know the others that's still married?
Oh,
Trista and Ryan.
And they were like OG bachelors.
They're like the OG OGs.
That's going back a long way.
Yeah.
They probably have like 20-year-old kids.
I saw them. We were in Vail for a lacrosse tournament years ago, and they were in the same bowling alley as us. I was just kind of... I was a little bit starstruck, Cakes, by the dumb bachelor contestants.
Did you pick up the 7-10 split? Always hard to do.
I didn't pay attention.
That 7-10 split's damn near impossible.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck to you.
I mean, how random is that? That you're in? I mean, I knew that they lived in Vail for some reason.
Yeah.
But that you would be in the bowling alley with them?
Right. That would be pretty weird. That would be pretty bizarre.
Well, when you brought up Jennifer Love Hewitt, remember when I saw her out in Malibu?
So in Malibu, right?
In like a taco or a Mexican restaurant?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was basically a taco shop.
They're rebooting I Know What You Did Last Summer, and she's in it.
Really?
Yeah.
She's married to a guy who went to Gonzaga High School.
Okay. I didn't know if it was a reboot or they were just bringing back the old one.
No, they're rebooting it, and she's in it.
She was on a TV show I watched like one or two episodes. I think it was just called 911.
Yeah, I don't know.
Something like that.
I can't watch the 911 shows. They're too cheesy. You watched one or two episodes. You bailed. Cheesy.
Bailed.
All right, we wanted to get into this article about Jaden Daniels and the offense. This is from heavy.com. Your headline, Commanders warned about unsustainable Jaden Daniels plan. First paragraph is getting Jaden Daniels up to speed quick enough to dominate the NFL as a rookie was a credit to the Commanders and their coaching staff, but they have been warned about continuing and, quote, unsustainable plan for their star quarterback.
Who's warning them?
As ESPN's Mina Kimes discussed on the Mina Kimes show, the Commanders had 677 snaps of no huddle last year. The next closest team was Philly with 274 snaps. Kimes asked former Green Bay Packers left tackle Marshall Newhouse if the Commanders can continue doing this much no huddle. His response should serve as a warning to Daniels and offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury about what comes next after 2024's Cinderella season. Newhouse believes, quote, no huddle is Cliff Kingsbury's way of stressing the defense, getting a certain personnel on the field, and limiting what they can do from an attack scheme. But I think it also has limitations. Those limitations can be attributed to the Commanders having what Newhouse dubbed, quote, Dollar General 49ers. He said, so they've got Zach Ertz, Terry McLaurin, and Brian Robinson, and Debo on the field. They can kind of interchange and move all over the place, but eventually you're going to have to get in two tight end sets. You're going to have to run duo somewhere. You're going to have to get to third and one. And teams aren't just going to allow you to run just up and down the field. This is not college.
Mm. Well, I think that what you saw from Cliff Kingsbury's offense last year is they actually gave Jaden more and more responsibility. So I don't think it's something that they really should be fearful of.
And maybe he'll adjust a little bit.
You know, EB said, let Jaden cook at one point, and that's kind of what they did down the stretch.
Thank you.
Because maybe they were protecting him for those games where they were losing and he was coming off the rib injury.
Up. They were definitely protecting him a little bit.
But I think they have it in the offense. And adding Debo Samuel is going to diversify the offense even more.
Yeah, I wanted to find out how, and we'll see it, but how different it's going to look with Debo and with Tunsil. And maybe they are going to start using more tight ends. You know, maybe they will cut down. Yeah. I mean, 400 play difference for no huddle, that's a lot.
That's substantial.
So maybe they cut that down by, you know, 20, 30%.
We'll see. What Newhouse outlined is the need for the Commanders to be more physical and still win when defenses have had time to huddle up, prepare, and substitute.
Mm-hmm.
Says the answer to that question will be determined by whether or not the Commanders have the personnel to break a huddle, line up in traditional sets, and still beat some of the best defenses in football. Look, and that's coming from a former left tackle. Like, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's a former player. He's been out there. He's seen it all. So he's got questions as to whether it's sustainable.
He's not stupid. I mean, he'll adjust. I mean, he's got different personnel now. And is it possible just to outscore teams for, you know, every single week? No. So they'll probably have to slow the game down a little bit. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see what kind of a difference Debo makes and Tunsil and all these other guys. The running game has to get better. Running game has to get better.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree.
Not just relying on JD.
I'm not really worried about opposing defenses. I think we're going to be fine.
I think Cliff is going to make whatever adjustments he feels like he needs to make.
Yeah.
To keep Jaden comfortable and to keep the offense ahead of the chains. I'm not that worried.
I'm only worried. I'll only be worried if we have a significant injury along the offensive line or if we lose Jaden.
Right. Well, if you lose Jaden.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, Mariota filled in nicely, but I wouldn't want him doing that for six, 8, or 10 games.
No. That's not sustainable.
That's, yeah.
Basically, the entire, I mean, obviously, it goes without saying, the entire season hinges on his health. But, you know, if they lost Tunsil, then I think it would hurt.
Oh, big time.
Right? I think it is a big reason why that was a priority for them. And obviously, if they don't get the Terry deal done, which I think is incomprehensible, like a 0% chance they don't get the deal done.
I know I said August, but I'd love to see it happen before, yeah, a week of training camp is up. I don't know if he'll be signed by the beginning of training camp, but a few days into training camp, let's get the deal done.
I would love to know.
Let's get him out there.
Well, they're not going to get it done while he's traveling, right? While he's in Europe. They're not, I mean, I know they can make a phone call and do it, but I don't think they're going to. I think it's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how long he's going to be in Italy, but.
I wouldn't sweat, though, kind of the premise of that article. Here is a counter from an NFL coordinator who prepared for Daniels last season, according to Chris Fowler of ESPN. It's a quote. Single-handedly took one of the worst franchises to the NFC title game as a rookie with a bad defense, one legitimate wide receiver, a dinosaur at tight end, an average at best O-line. The kid can read coverages, throw with accuracy, and touch to all levels of the field, just as dangerous as Lamar and Josh Allen with his legs, and has a clutch factor to him because his team already believes that if he has the ball with a chance to win, he's going to find a way. If he repeats anything close to his rookie year, he's no lower than number three on the list that we were talking about yesterday, which had Patrick Mahomes 1, Josh Allen 2, Joe Burrow 3, and Lamar Jackson 4.
They're saying if he regresses, he'd be a little lower than 3?
No, if he's no, he said if he repeats anything close to his rookie year, the quote from an NFL coordinator, I guess they would put him ahead of Lamar and Joe Burrow.
I don't know how you would do that. He needs to do
more. There's a lot of expectations, guys, putting him number 3.
Well, the expectation should be high. He had him within one win of a Super Bowl as a rookie.
I know. Sports isn't that predictable.
Oh, I know.
Especially NFL.
If I'm Zach Ertz, I'd be offended by the dinosaur comment. I mean, he's up there. He's 34, but it's not like he's 40 years old lumbering around on the field. I mean, I'd be a little bit upset if I were Zach Ertz. That's an unwarranted shot.
That you want to talk about a regression, that's the one that you have to assume regresses pretty substantially, right? His production.
I mean, I would think
can he stay
mainly
on the field?
Yeah, I think it would mainly regress just, you know, can't stay out there for 15 plus games. I think if he plays 15 plus games, he should catch 60 balls again. He might not have as many touchdowns, but he should still be heavily involved in the offense. I mean, Jaden loves throwing the ball to him.
Right.
How would that change? How would that be different in 25?
Are you going to be okay if Ertz goes down in week 2 and misses a month and you got to throw
Sinnott?
You got to throw Sinnott out there to start?
I'm cautiously optimistic.
You don't feel
on Sinnott.
Great about it, but like there's a reason you drafted him in the second round.
I know.
You have high expectations for him.
Just didn't see anything.
I'm more bullish on him than I am Lattimore.
I know you are. Had 5 catches as a rookie.
Sure. He's a rookie, just wasn't used.
I am not.
He was a rookie, just wasn't used. The guy ahead of him just had an unbelievable career year. So, I mean, we haven't seen anything to think of. I haven't seen nothing from Ben Sinnott where I go, oh, he can't do it. I've seen nothing that indicates that. The guy ahead of him had a career year.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel Lattimore, if he's healthy, and the hamstring isn't dogging him, that he should have a good year.
The thing I don't understand about the Lattimore thing I've talked about, he hadn't been healthy in 4 years.
I know. He's had issues.
Just fall out of the sky and be healthy all of a sudden. He hadn't been healthy in 4 years. He's had 4 off seasons.
He's gonna be good.
Everybody says fifth time's a charm.
I guess.
It's a very common saying.
People say, why do you expect Debo? He hasn't been healthy. But they expect Lattimore to miraculously be healthy? Why? I don't understand.
Maybe he's seeing a hamstring specialist.
He's not 35 years old.
Okay. What is Lattimore, 28?
Maybe, 29.
Right? Similar to Debo, though. People mock you if you say you think Debo's going to have a good year or potentially have a good year, still has good years left.
Yep.
But because of the age and injury history, But with Lattimore, just assume he'll just be fine. He'll get healthy. Why?
They don't even think about him because he was barely here. I think he's going to have a big year.
All right, we're going to hook
up. I think he's going to be healthy this year.
Caller number 10 right now, you're going to score two tickets to the Where the Party At Tour. 800-636-1067. 10th caller, you're going to win a pair of tickets to see Nelly and the St. Lunatics, Ja Rule, Eve, and Chingy Wednesday, July 23rd at Jiffy Lube Live. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. 10th caller right now wins. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. Remember, you can go vote at Junks Radio on Twitter, our Drink Surfside poll of the day, with Garrett Wilson signing a huge contract with the Jets. 4 years, $130 million. Are you more nervous about the Terry McLaurin situation? Your options, no, not sweating it. Nervous man, nervous, or helps get the deal done. I'm going to put no, not sweating it. That's at 30%. Nervous man, nervous, 29%. Mm-hmm. Helps get the deal done, 40%. 0.8%.
All right.
It defines
your
the
current
market.
Numbers.
And it has to help. It's more data.
Yeah, another data point out there for
right.
everybody involved with
right.
the negotiation.
Right. And I think it ultimately helps Terry get a little more dough. It probably does. It just further kicks away that Mike Evans BS.
Oh, yeah. Any deal that starts with,
I didn't even
with a
factor
two
that
at
in
this
anyway.
Point is now completely irrelevant.
Right.
I wouldn't even have a conversation with Adam Peters. If the word two comes out of his mouth as the first number,
yeah,
we're just ending the conversation.
Yeah,
I'm going to say,
okay, I'm
thank
with you. There.
Thank you for the insulting offer. When you have a real offer, call us back.
That starts
you know
with
my
three.
Number.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of receivers, I just retweeted a picture. Cooper Kupp is now a member of the Seattle Seahawks. Starting
right.
quarterback Sam Darnold, a lot of changes.
Trav is going to get a Cooper Kupp jersey
Seattle.
If he hasn't already.
Have you seen his new hairstyle?
He's got like a mop top. He's got a lot of hair.
Yeah, do you like this?
Good for him.
He's trimmed the beard.
I mean, it's not for me, but.
He's trimmed the beard, and he's got kind of wavy, curly, surfer boy-like hair.
If you have plenty of hair and Drab, you will side with me on this. Do what you want with it. Grow it as long as you want. Because you never know how long you're going to have the luxury of hair. So while you have it, do whatever you want with it. Grow it long. Have a mullet. Rock a mohawk. I don't care. So I'm cool with his weird hairstyle. Good with it.
By the way, did you see
He'd be cooler if he catches 8 to 10 touchdowns.
That would be nice.
Did you see that yesterday I put it on right after, so I missed it live. I literally put it on seconds after. That Pat McAfee introduced the contestants for the home run contest. Mm-hmm. Did you see it?
Did not.
And Pat is getting some blowback, I guess, because he talked about
who cares?
Big dumpers, big ass, or something.
Oh, really?
And you always get people.
I think he said the fattest ass in Major League Baseball,
which is fairly benign.
Very benign.
I personally think Pat McAfee is a superstar with superstar talent. I don't know if he gets a little carried away sometimes in these live hits, but if you're Pat McAfee and you have the brand that you have, I think you might have to kind of dance that line a little bit.
Yeah, you lean into it. That's part of his brand.
He was the hype man. That was his job.
I think he's getting a little unfairly criticized here.
Kind of nice to watch Monumental Sports tonight to watch the Whiz Kids.
Oh, what time's the tip?
8:30.
Oh, that's right.
Sixers.
In the sweet spot.
That's perfect for you.
I can watch the first half go off to sleep.
I mean, some of these young guys are barely playing.
Right.
I mean, obviously, Flag was shut down after two games.
Sar might be cut.
Ace Bailey didn't play
last
night.
Sar might be shut down.
It sounds like.
I mean, they're going to start shutting a lot of these guys down.
Sounds like Trey Johnson may not play as much as he did in the first two.
Yeah.
It's what it sounds
like. I wouldn't be surprised
like.
If they play Trey a little bit in this game and then he's shut down.
Right.
It's almost like you already saw what you need to see.
Right.
Dylan Harper played last night. I think he played pretty well, 16 or 18 points, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Spurs shut him down.
You know, just to give Drab's guy a little shine, we talked about the Wizards side of things when they beat the Nets in Summer League, but his boy Drew Timmy put up 30 against the Wizards.
I saw that.
Just
saw
a regular
that.
Thing with Timmy. Give him the ball. He's going to score in the bucket.
Well, he's proven he's a baller.
He was getting into a somewhat heated argument with J.P. Finley, who was kind of mocking Timmy. But Timmy did this once he got actually called up into
the league at the end of the year. Yeah. I mean, Kendrick Perkins, who I was never a fan of, said Drew Timmy should be on somebody's roster getting quality minutes, and I mean in the rotation heavy.
Ooh, look at that.
I mean, it looks like he deserves it.
He's a bucket, as the kids
say.
He's a bucket.
And, you know, Sar had 8 blocks, but Timmy was putting up buckets against Sar.
Right.
It was fun to watch.
Yeah, he has a really good floater game. On pick and rolls, he dives kind of in the middle. He'll set the pick, and depending on what the defense does, he'll dive in the middle, and then, like, right around that free throw line, maybe a little closer, he'll shoot a little floater. He's just got that thing down.
Did I see Igor Demon doing a little bit of work? I kind of liked him, too.
Hey, you were a Demon guy.
I kind of liked me some Demon.
I forget. Where did he end up?
He's on the Nets.
Brooklyn.
Yeah. Okay, so I mean, he scored 12. The team wasn't good when he was on the floor. He was minus 16.
Ooh, I don't like that. But again, who plays defense? And certainly the summer league.
Yeah.
Guys are playing real defense.
All right, let me check out his first game.
Did you see Furphy's slam last night?
Yeah,
did
not. It was absurd.
I think EB's boy, Con Knipple, had a bounce back because he was dreadful in that first game.
Yeah, he had 16 or 18.
I think he's going to have a 10-year career. He's going to be a good pro. Well, I didn't see superstar.
I know the Hornet fans were freaking out after the first game.
What did he do?
He had like 4 points and 1-for-8 from the field and a bunch of turnovers.
Remember, Alex Starr was 0-for-18.
Yeah, people were freaking out about him, too.
Yeah, but then you had Trey Johnson and Ace Bailey behind him.
Yeah.
Knipple had 16, 10, and 4, in his second game.
So there you go, 16, 10.
I mean, I think Knipple, he's obviously a good player.
He was 3-for-5 from 3-point land.
I just didn't see superstar.
He's going to be a catch-and-shoot threat.
Danny Wolf has had a rough go at it.
He has.
First game, 4 points. Second game, 5 points. Your guy, Demon.
I think he's going to be a star.
I don't know if he's lighting up cakes. He had 8 in the first game.
KB, I saw a few highlights. Okay. I'm not getting his bust ready for the Hall of Fame.
The guy who's lighting it up is Drew Timmy. In his first game, I had to go back and look. 22. So he's put up 22 and 30.
Nice.
In 2 summer league games. Your guy Demon's averaging 10. Danny Wolf's averaging 4.5.
Man, I can't wait for college football to be.
I don't know. Summer league is actually more intriguing than the first 20 games of the season. Maybe the first 40. Right.
Maybe 60.
Yeah, maybe 60.
Yeah. Right.
You're right. I do think that people.
I mean, NFL camps start next week.
Some start today. I think the Chargers are in camp starting today because they're in the Hall of Fame game, which is the end of July.
That's right. Who are they playing? Whoever they're playing is in.
Can't remember.
Wow.
But they'll be in camp today.
That's incredible.
Najee Harris, big eye patch, fireworks incident.
That's right, fireworks.
When are people going to learn to trust the fireworks to the professionals?
What a dum-dum.
Especially when you're a professional athlete. Please leave it to the pros. Sorry, Valdez. Leave it to the professionals, okay? Let them do all the fireworks.
I just can't wait for fantasy drafts, both college and pro, for survivor pools.
They're all coming. Can you do the Circa pool? Can you jump in the pool with us, please? Circa swim? Can you jump in with us?
No. I'm in.
Let's do this. You know what? We need to shake off losing
I'll split it with about 8 guys. I'm not splitting it with 4.
Okay. You be a miser. And
I will be a miser.
Don't come looking for money when we're holding up the big cartoon check at the end, which we won't be.
Exactly. You're going to lose. You're going to lose in week 2.
Got to dare to dream.
Dream big.
I'll do a less expensive survivor pool.
Ah, come on.
Do you remember the old slogan that we grew up with for the Maryland Lottery?
You got to play to win.
Exactly.
Got to play to win. Got to get in there.
It's not if you see something, say something.
No, it should be.
That's way different.
It should be most play to lose. That should be the
almost everybody plays to lose.
Almost everybody plays to lose.
Yeah. All right, we got to get out of here. We'll see you again tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley, they're coming up next here on 106.7 The Fan.